Next week, as Jack mentioned during the announcements, we won't be here. We'll be in Logan Hall for our special Remembrance Sunday service. That'll be next Sunday, Logan Hall, Russell Square. And on Friday, we'll be here in Wansford High School. So not the Leisure Centre, but in the high school, we'll be here for our Friday night meeting. I want to welcome, it's good to have Joachim Branner here from the Denmark Church, and one of the disciples over there came to spend half term with some of the teens over here, which is encouraging. It's also encouraging to have Jean Porter back with us after a number of weeks. I know she's... Let's continue to be praying for our sister Jean and the health challenges that she's having to face right now. I also want to let you know that Alex and Rashida, this week, Rashida gave birth to a baby boy, and which we're very encouraged by. Is Alex here? Where's Alex? Alex, so you've got a son now. What's his name? You can be seated. He's the boy with no name right now. Rashida told me she wanted to call him Michael. After me, yeah? It's announced now, so it's done. It's done. Michael Boateng has a good ring to it. But it is encouraging for all this good news. We're going to be looking, you know, the Bible talks about remembering a number of times and actually commands us to remember a number of times. And we're going to be looking at one of those occasions, and that's going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where he talks about remembering our Creator in the days of our youth. Now, what do you remember from your youth? Some of us are like, oh, I'm not sure I want to remember some of the things from my youth. You know, if you're a New Zealand fan, then maybe years from now you might remember... New Zealand beating Australia in the 2015 England World Cup rugby final. Particularly if you were there at the game, if you were in the stadium. But especially if you were this young fella. Let me show you this video clip. There's one of the rugby players for New Zealand, a guy called Sonny Bill Williams. He used to be New Zealand heavyweight champion and boxing. And then he decided to focus on rugby. So he's a big fella. But one of the fans ran out after the final onto the pitch and got rugby tackled by a security guard. But you'll see what happens next. Apparently, the steward who tackled the boy was an Englishman. Our most successful tackle of the whole tournament. Oh, well, there you go. But that's something you're never going to forget, particularly because you got that World Cup rugby medal. Unbelievable. But look what he says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Solomon writes, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds and all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. They collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." You know, this is Solomon writing at the end of his life. And we know from Kings and Chronicles that Solomon, God had blessed him with incredible wisdom. And he wrote many of the Proverbs we find in the book of Proverbs. He wrote the Song of Songs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He was a man who was known for his wisdom. And people would travel from all around the world to come and sit at his feet to learn. And yet he messed up in many ways. But at the end of his life, he's writing and he's looking back. And, you know, we're just looking at the conclusion. Have you ever skipped to the end of a book just to see what happens at the end? I don't normally do that. But, you know, I've heard of people do that. Just to see, you know, is this worth reading? We're skipping to the end. You can read, and I would encourage you to read the other 11 chapters in Ecclesiastes. But I'll warn you, it's quite depressing. You know, he talks about there in verse 8, he says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. In the Hebrew, meaningless is mentioned 5 times just in that one verse. In fact, it's mentioned in 10 out of the 12 chapters, meaningless is talked about. And in fact, in the whole book, he's nearly 40 times he talks about meaningless. He also uses the phrase under the sun. He's examining life under the sun. And by that, he's talking about just from an earthly perspective, looking at life, what is it all about? He concludes, from an earthly perspective, under the sun as opposed to under heaven, life is empty. It's meaningless. You can indulge in all kinds of things, and Solomon did exactly that, indulge in all kinds of things, pleasure, projects, different things. But at the end of the day, he examined it all, and he said, this is all empty. This is all meaningless. But the conclusion is, it's only from a realization of who God is as our Creator, is life worth living. And his conclusion at the very end is, here is the conclusion of the matter, fear God and keep all his commandments. This is, the word duty is not actually in the original manuscript. It's just put in there by the King James translators. But the actual phrase is, this is what it's all about. This is the whole of man. Fear God. Keep his commandments. And he says, you know, and he starts off here in chapter 12. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You know, the very best time to come to a realization of who God is and how we should live our life is when we are young. The very best time. When we are young, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Why? Because when you are young, that's when you're able to do the most with your life. You've got everything laid out ahead of you. You've got the most potential right there. And what a time to find God is when you're young. It's great to have a teen ministry. it's great to have a thriving teen ministry where we have lots of our young brothers and sisters finding God in their youth. That's encouraging. It's also good to find God when we're not in our youth. But the best time is when you're in your youth. You know, I remember when I became a Christian, I was 16 when I became a Christian, and that was quite a while ago now. But I remember when I became a Christian that my brothers, who were 18 and 19 at the time, and I was telling them I'm about to become a Christian, they thought I was crazy. They said, why are you becoming a Christian when you're 16? Why don't you wait a few years? Because you can enjoy yourself. And then you can go to all these parties, you can drink, you can indulge, you can have lots of girlfriends, you can live life. And then when you're older, you can become a Christian. Honestly, that's what my oldest brother said to me. You know, because I'd studied the Bible, and I realized this really is the Word of God. And this is true. And because this is true, number one, there's no guarantee I'm going to get any older. Because the Bible says your life is just a mist. Don't make plans for the year, 2 years from now without God in the picture. And there's even a whole parable about this in Luke where he talks about a rich fool whose life was demanded that very night. But the Bible, not only does the Bible not guarantee you any more time, but because it's the Word of God, because God is the one who designed us, He made us, He knows what's best for us, then doing things His way was going to be the best way. And so I made a decision, I'm going to become a Christian now. And you know, the benefit of that decision, really, you don't see until decades later. Because I look at my life decades later, and I look at the path that my life has gone compared to both my brothers, in fact, the rest of my entire family, you can so clearly see the divergence. You can see where my family ended up, where I ended up. And it's very sobering to consider the path my life might have gone had I not made that decision to become a Christian at a young age. Sometimes when we're young, we think, oh yeah, I just want to enjoy myself. And you know, the crazy thing is, when we do it God's way, that's when we really enjoy ourselves. You know, he says there in verse 9, not only was the teacher wise, but he imparted knowledge. It says in verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads. You know what a goad is? A goad is a pointy stick that you use to direct animals to make sure they go the right direction. It's a little bit painful. I'm sure it's a lot painful. I've never experienced a goad. But it keeps the animal on the right path. And sometimes the wisdom of the Word of God can be that way. It can be a little bit challenging at times. But it keeps us on the right track. He says it's like firmly embedded nails. You know, nails, that's what holds things together. You build a house, you use nails to hold the wood and the timber and all the beams in place. Firmly embedded nails. Without it, it's gonna be rickety, shaky, and may even fall apart. But he says when we do it God's way, it makes such a difference. And the best time is when we are young. You know, he talks about, look back in verse 1. He says, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. You know, there's something about, and the next thing, the next few verses then is a poem about old age. But there's something about when you are young, that you are the most free you are ever going to be. It starts off when you're a baby, you can pretty much do whatever you want, and everyone thinks it's cute. You can burp whenever you want. You can throw up whenever you want. You can scream and cry. And everyone's like, ah, oh, isn't that cute? And, you know, you see, when we see Alex and Rashida's baby boy, Michael, when we see him holding it in our hands, and everyone's going to be going, around, how cute. Oh, he screamed. Oh, how cute. Hasn't he got a powerful set of lungs? But you do that when you're older, and the ushers will be taking you out fast, and your head will spin. You know, when you're young, you have freedom. You can do whatever you want. And as you get older, you know, you realize, actually, I don't have as much freedom as I once had. But you still have a lot of freedom when you are young. You know, I think of our teens right now. They've just had half term. And during that half term, you know, hopefully they've been doing their revision. Because they've got mock exams coming up after the half term. And I know that's right, because they're all very diligent and hardworking young men and women. And some of them are looking at me with blank faces. Revision. But you know, when you're young, sometimes you think, oh, life is challenging, it's burdensome, I've got so much work to do, and it's just never ending. But you know, what's interesting is, the older you get, the more you look back with fondness on the years that have gone by. Because, you know, when you're studying for your GCSEs, you think, oh, life is challenging, it's hard. Remember for us older folk when we're studying for our O-levels, do you remember that? And you remember how you felt like, oh, this is so overwhelming, this is challenging, my whole life depends on this. And if I don't do well, then that's it. It's all gone down the drain. And so you're working hard and you're feeling the pressure. But then after your exams are over, and then you start to do your A-levels, you look back and you think your O-levels, you think, those were a doddle. They were so easy. What was I complaining about? And then after you've done your A-levels and you go to university and then you're doing your degree and you're thinking, oh, my A-levels were so easy. I long for those days. And then after you've graduated from from university and you get a job and you're looking back at, with fondness at your student days and you're thinking, life was so free. And he says here, that's the time to remember God. It's in the days of your youth when before the days of trouble come. Before the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. Have you noticed as we get older, our health tends to be not as... When I was at school, we used to play rugby on a Monday, on a Wednesday, and on a Friday. We used to play soccer on a Tuesday and on a Thursday. Then we used to play a match on a Saturday. And then we used to have hockey in our PE lessons. And we'd have gym and everything. And that was like... So we had some kind of physical activity 6 days out of seven. And if you know, had a hard game where you got bashed and bruised and beaten and you were aching, for the next day, you'd be right as rain. These days, if I'm playing any kind of sports or activities or anything and I get an injury, I'll be right as rain the following year. You know, when you are young, it's amazing how you're just resilient. And he says, that's the time to remember your Creator in the days of youth before the days that years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And health problems and challenges accumulate. Look what he goes on. He says there, in verse 3, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. You know, as you get older, your whole outlook on life comes a little bit dimmer. It's not as bright as it once was. Everything is just not as vibrant as it once used to be. Why? Because you've got so many responsibilities and pressures and stresses and challenges and everything from financial concerns to health concerns to, you know, everything just kind of piles in on you. And it's so easy at that point then to feel overwhelmed. He says, remember God before those days. He says, and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. You know, it's been raining and then the clouds come back immediately after it's finished raining. And it's like there's always one thing after another. It's like it's just never ending. He says, when the keepers of the house tremble. You know what those are, the keepers of the house? Those are your hands. Your hands that take care of your body, that feed, that groom, that nourish, that clean your body, that they keep your body. But there's going to come a day when your hand, hold out your hand for a second. See that? Rock solid. But you look around and you see those who are slightly aged. And it starts to tremble. I did notice that Angie Izilo didn't put his hands out. Did you notice that? I don't know why that was, but he says, when the keepers of the house tremble, the strong men stoop. You know, my father-in-law, Alex, I remember the very first time I met him, I was very intimidated. Because, of course, I was dating his daughter, his only daughter, his daughter whom he loved. And I went round to the house to visit him, and Alex, and I was on my best behavior, and I shook his hand, and Alex at that point was about 6 foot. How tall were you, Alex? Something. Precisely. But now I can give Alex a hug and he's actually my height now, which is awesome. There comes a day when the strong men stoop. That's gonna come for all of us. He says when the strong men stoop, he says when the grinders cease, you know what that is? It's your teeth. Unless you see Jemima on a regular basis, there's gonna come a day when your teeth start to cease. They fall out, exactly. I didn't want to say it, but it happens. He says, When the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. That's your eyes. Your eyesight begins to go. You know, some of us wear glasses. Some of us don't wear glasses. I used to wear glasses when I was younger. And then I had my eyes lasered back in 2003, and then I didn't need glasses. Then I got ophthalmic shingles, and now I'm starting to need glasses again. And as I get older, I'm starting to need glasses. But you know, Julie didn't know I wore glasses until we'd been dating for a few months. And she said, I took her to the cinema one time, and whilst when the lights had gone dim, I pulled out my glasses, and and she looked at me, whoa! But there comes a time when our eyesight begins to diminish, and you see this even with some of the song leaders up here. They look at reading their songbook, and then they start to hold it out a bit further out here. And I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, Andy, but that's what happens. As we get older, our eyesight begins to grow dim. And he says, and the doors to the street are closed. You know, when you're young, you feel like nothing can hurt you. Who cares if your door's left wide open? But when you're older, oh my goodness, you become very security conscious. You lock the door, you check it's locked, you double check, and you put it on the latch as well, and you bolt it. Why? Because you're not as resilient as you once were. He says the doors to the street are closed. The sound of grinding fades. Your hearing starts to go. He says when men rise up at the sound of birds, you know, your sleep is no longer this undisturbed sleep of the dead that the teenagers seem to exhibit every night. But you kind of wake up at the slightest thing. And he says and their songs grow faint. You know, singers, strong singers even, as they get older, their voice will begin to go as well. He says, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, as a young man, I thought I was invincible. I would roam around the streets at night, late at night, just because that's what you do when you're a young teenager growing up in London. And I would go down to Leicester Square with my brothers. We'd be playing in the video arcades till they kicked us out at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then there were no night buses, so we'd have to walk home. Life was good. And, you know, we didn't care, and we weren't concerned about being attacked or mugged or anything like that. When I was 21 years old, I was mugged in the street. I was making a phone call. I didn't have mobile phones back in those days. I was making a phone call from a phone box at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was an overseas call, so I was calling America. And so it was 1 o'clock in the morning, our time, about 8 o'clock in the evening, their time. And as I was making this call, these two guys came up to me and they said, they came up, I was in the phone box, and they came into the phone box and they put the receiver down. And they said, I said, what are you doing? They said, give us your wallet. I said, no, I'm not giving you my wallet. There was two of them, there was just one of me, but I was young. And there's something about the foolishness of youth. And they said, give us your wallet. And I said, no, I'm not giving you my wallet. So one of them bent down, picked up a bottle, smashed it on the ground, and held it up to my face. I've still got a slight scar under my left eye from where the bottle cut me. And you know, I thought, I can outrun these guys. And so I pushed them away, and I made a run for it. And I was pretty fast when I was 20, 21. They were faster. And they caught up to me, and they pushed me to the ground, and they started to beat me. And honestly, I thought at that point, here, take my wallet. It only had £10 in it. I don't know what I was risking my life for a £10 note. You know, they say that the area of the brain that assesses risk doesn't fully develop until you're about 25 years old. If that had happened 4 years later, I'd have just said, here, take my wallet, my watch, take my... But at that age, you don't fully grasp the dangers and you don't make wise choices. And so they were, just as I handed over my wallet, these lights came up the road. We're in the middle of the street, and a van stopped about 10 yards from us. And out of this van jumped 12 police officers, swam these guys, caught them. I was like, yes, on the ground where I was. I ended up getting £1,500 from the Criminal Injuries Compensation Board, which was awesome. So the following week, I was out making a phone call at 2 in the morning, and no. But, you know, as you get older, he says men are afraid of heights and danger in the streets. The things that didn't concern you when you were younger, as you get older, you start to fear. And even, you know, heights and things like that. He goes on, he says, when the almond tree blossoms, you know, an almond blossom, when it first comes out, it's pink. But then as the blossoms are about to fall off the tree, they turn white. Just as our hair begins to go grey. He says, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, you no longer have that energy, that vitality of youth that you once had. And desire no longer is stirred. You know, in the original Hebrew, the word they translate desire is actually something called caperberry. It was used back in those days as an aphrodisiac. And in some translations, you read, the caperberry is shriveled. What an apt, interesting analogy. But he says, desire is no longer stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. He says, then there's death, and then there's a funeral, and then there's people mourning in the street. He says, the time to remember him is before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken. You know, silver, gold, it's the value of life. There's going to come a point where it's beyond repair. He says, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring. You know, you take your jug to collect water from the spring, but if it's shattered and it's broken in pieces and there's no way to put it back together again, and it's over. It's done. It's final. Or the wheel is broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from. You know, Solomon was a wise man. He messed up. He was led astray by his many wives. He ended up in adultery. He all kinds of messed up things. But as he's looking back at the end of his life, he says, you know, as I consider everything, he says, I understand now that everything surrounding man, the only thing that's really important is following God, obeying his commands. Sometimes as we read through the commands and we think, oh, this is too restrictive. God is out to destroy my life. God's out to protect your life. Psychologists will tell you, in fact, they did an experiment a number of years ago, a couple of decades ago now, actually, where children in the playground, they remove the fences around the outside of the playground to see if the children would be more freed up and would enjoy themselves more. And what they found was, once the fences were removed, instead of playing wide and free in the fields, the children huddled together near the center. And they were not so free. And once the fences were put back in place, then they were played right to the edges again, and they were just unrestricted. And it's amazing how sometimes the very things we think limit us actually give us more freedom. When God gives us his instructions, they're there for a purpose. The boundaries, the limitations that God places on our lives, they're there to help us and to bless us, not to hurt us or to harm us. When God talks about things like keeping ourselves pure before marriage and not engaging in any kind of sexual immorality or sex outside of marriage, he does that for our benefit. And couples who practice the way that God intends for us to live our life, they're the ones who end up being happier. When we avoid the sins that the Bible talks about, drunkenness. You know, we think, oh, I'm just being young, I'm enjoying my life. You know what? You're damaging your life. When we think, oh, but all my friends are doing it. Listen, God is our creator. He knows what's best. And so although this is directed very much at the youth, actually, it's for all of us. You say, well, what if I'm not in my youth? I meant to bring a pear today from my garden. We have a pear tree in my garden. When we first moved in back in 2003, the pears were very hard and they weren't very tasty. And we tried cooking them and that made it a little bit better. But over the years, you thought, ah, this is rubbish. Who plants a pear tree that you can't eat? That's ridiculous. But then recently, you know, Alex came in from the garden. He had one of the pears in his hands, and he said, these pears are delicious. I thought, no, that's not right. And eventually, it took me a few days, he kept saying it, these pears are delicious. You know what? I took a bite out of one of those pears, and they really are really quite nice. And I meant to bring one. In fact, we've got a whole bundle. If you want some pears, come around to my house. I'll let you have some pears. But they're really tasty. They're soft. They're sweet. And that's like, wow, didn't expect that. You know the best time to plant a tree, they say? 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree? Today. You know the best time to find our Creator? It's in the days of our youth. The next best time? Right now. the sooner the better. The reality is, when we do things God's way, life is blessed. It's blessed because we know what we have to look forward to. He concludes by saying there's going to come a day when every deed will be brought into judgment, whether good or evil. And when we understand that, then we start to live in view of eternity. And if we live in view of eternity, then our lives will be transformed, not just in the present, but in all the years we have left on earth. Let me encourage us to learn lessons from Solomon's life, to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. At this time, I want to ask Hugo and Tope to come up to the front. Tope is, as a young fella, not so young now, but he used to be young, who Hugo is going to introduce to us as he's going to be restored to our fellowship today. Okay.